Good morning, 7:38 here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News, and joining us now from a distant location in Orlando, Florida, where no, he is not there on vacation. He is there on public information officer training duty, but Mike Wood is the PIO for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning.
So I definitely want to talk to you about this conference. We'll get to that in a minute. Before we talk about that, though, there's been a couple of incidents here recently. Going back a couple of days, we had this, very scary story of, a man attacking his girlfriend with a hatchet in Pensacola?
Yeah, it was a domestic situation. The arrest was made, and, she received some serious injuries, and we're just lucky that it's not worse than it is, and I believe she's out of the woods yet. We're just going to have to wait and see on that. But, that was a pretty bad situation.
Yeah, and I know heard that on Channel 3, I heard Bill Edens, the state attorney, talking about, the possibility of some sort of mental incapacity, and his judgment of the case was that there was something like that, but not enough to rise to the level of criminal insanity that would – or of legal insanity that would, exculpate him. How do you make – do you have a role? Does the police officer on the scene have any role in making that kind of a determination when about charging somebody and about their mental capacity for it to be held for the crime?
They can if the mental capacity is obvious. A lot of times that's not the case, and we're going to make the appropriate charge at that time, and then that can be dealt with later if something like that was to come up.
Okay. So it's obviously a part of your job when you're thinking about the variety of responses, like including Baker acting. So I know you guys get training on that. I was just kind of curious how that plays out. I guess there's also been some burglaries in the Cordova Park area. Is that right?
Yeah, there were many vehicles that were rummaged through. Some items were taken in that area, and these vehicles, again, were unlocked. And, we've seen that happen before. People have heard us time and time again to say, please lock your cars. And there's folks that still don't do that, and they became victims. So we have some people that are being interviewed, and we believe we have the individuals that are responsible. Once again, if you haven't had your vehicle gone through and you're in the habit of locking it, it could happen to you too. So please, we urge people all the time, especially on our Facebook page. They do a wonderful job of reminding people to go out there and lock that car around 9 p.m. Just make it a habit. Or lock it every time you get out.
I know you guys get tired of telling people this, but it just doesn't sink in with people that they should lock their cars. Now, I come from a tradition where, I've always locked my car, and so it's not hard for me to think that way. But I know for some people it's kind of like, oh man, why should I have to? But you do, because this is how these criminal enterprises operate, is they go look for the cars that are open and they take the easy pickings, right?
Yeah, they don't want to break windows in residential areas because of dogs. Dogs are going to start barking. Dogs are in the house. And when you break windows, you make noise. And that's what's going to get them caught. So they're going to pick on the cars that are unlocked, and they'll leave the locked ones alone most of the time.
Yeah, and I have this may be an odd question to ask you, but we're in the vicinity, and it reminds me, my wife and I were never particularly worried about our vehicles until we lived in Arizona, and in the case of 6 months, we had both of our cars broken into, and so we went to, we always locked them, but they broke the windows. This is, in a different situation, but we went and got clubs and put the club on the car, and I always figure, I know a club isn't going to stop somebody who's serious and determined, but my goal is to make them move to the next car. that's all I want to do. I just want to make them move to the next car. Am I thinking about this the right way?
Oh yeah, absolutely. If you can, whatever you can do to make it difficult for the bad guy, most of the time they're lazy and they're going to move on to the next car. And part of it's lazy, and the other part is they simply don't want to get caught. So, I say that they're not going to break into vehicles that are locked in residential neighborhoods. But if you've left a laptop computer on the seat and that car is locked, they might just go against what they normally do and pop that window out and take that. So just don't make it easy for them.
And it's crazy how quick it can happen. I mean, in weird situations. I was in a state park one time with a friend who had left a bag in his back seat of his car, and they were with us for 5 minutes and came back and somebody had busted. It doesn't take as long as you think, right?
That's exactly right. And, you know, locking your car, a lot of people, compared to putting on seatbelts, you put on a seatbelt every day for that accident that's probably never going to happen, but you do it anyway. It's the right thing to do. And the chances of your car getting broken into are in the area that we live in, fortunately, is slim, but it can happen. It may happen. So go on and lock that door and keep the odds in your favor.
Yeah, and this is one of those things. I know we've talked about this many times, but again, apparently it just takes time for it to sink in. It's not just you protecting your car. It's you, number one, if it's a gun, which is extra problematic because the criminal's getting a hold of guns, but also it's when there are just less targets available, this kind of enterprise will tend to go away. And as long as the targets are available and open, this kind of thing is going to keep happening and people are going to be more at risk. Anything else happened over the last couple of days that we don't already know about, Mike?
No, I think that's it. It's been pretty quiet. I haven't seen anything come across our email list of any concern. So that's a great thing to say.
Very good. Now, you're in Orlando this morning, and I find this fascinating because, and I know you're going to hate me saying this, but I'm going to speak on behalf of all the media in Pensacola that we think you personally, Mike Wood, does a phenomenally good job of being a PIO for your organization. There are other people who also do phenomenally well, but I cannot imagine there's a single person who's in the media who would say otherwise about you. And yet, there you are, you and Rich Alloy with the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office, who also does a phenomenally good job. You guys are there getting trained. I mean, why do you need to get trained when you're so good at what you do already?
Because this line of work changes all the time. The way that we get information out has to change or does change. And, you know, we just learned yesterday that now the amount of time it takes for a story to go viral in your community with bad information is simply 90 seconds after an incident occurs. It takes about an hour for it to go global. So we're learning different techniques and ways to stay in front of the story, control the narrative, and make sure the information that gets out to our citizens is correct.
I cannot imagine the pressure to make sure that you defend against social media on a story that, you know, let alone one where it actually is a bad story for the police agency, where it's just a misunderstanding, or in today's environment where people will deliberately misunderstand something. I cannot imagine the extra stress that puts on you. I assume there are people at this conference that are from other agencies in other places where they have a very adversarial relationship with the news media. Do you hear a lot of that from people?
Yeah, there's people in the class right now that are expressed that yesterday, and that's a sad thing. You know, Rich and I and the other PIOs in our area are very fortunate that we work with the media that we have. I think about that all the time because it's not that way in certain parts of the country.
And I think, you know, one of the problems that you run into, not here so much, but you run into this problem somewhere, is this feeling that the police are trying to keep information from you. And of course, I know that your guidance, or you correct me if I'm wrong, the guidance you have from leadership, but also just good practice, is tell as much of the truth as you possibly can to protect the investigation and get information out, because information is the best way to combat the false ideas. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. If we don't get that information out to the media, then they're going to go look someplace else for it. And sometimes those sources aren't reliable. We want to get the information out as fast as we can. And Andrew, there's only one reason we would withhold anything, and that's because of the integrity. We want to protect the integrity of any investigation. And there's some things that we just cannot put out because it may affect the investigation, and other things we can't put out because it's illegal to do so. But everything else we're going to get out to you as quickly as possible to make sure the rumors don't get started, because some things can simply cause public panic, and we certainly don't want to do that. So we want to get the truth out there, whether it's good or bad.
Very good. Mike Wood, he is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, as always, thanks for the time. Thanks for continuing to perfect your craft and be better at what you are. Tell Rich we said hi, and we appreciate him as well. We'll talk to you again soon.
I will do that. Thank you.